Bull Date on Mix 93.8.
Bull Date on Mix 93.8 FM. Good evening. My name's Graham Alexander. In the studio, not as usual, is Nonhlanhla looking after the desk. And Kay looking after all of us.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit starstruck because I got to shake Johnny Clegg's hand and I've been a fan for forever. So that was really exciting. And I know, based on all the SMSs sent through, everybody is a major fan. But now we're going to talk about something else tonight. And you have a chance to win a couple of things. But I'll tell you about the first one. It's a book called The Renovation Guide. It's hot off the press. And it's all about renovating, obviously, because it's called The Renovation Guide. So it takes you through every process that you possibly could need. Book's valued at 475 Rand, and it's arriving off the press. As I said, hot off the press. It's going to be arriving next week. So what we're asking you, there was a place that was officially opened on the 7th of December 1979, and it was a place where all your dreams came true, and you could go and watch a nude review, you could gamble, and you could watch some rock star in an auditorium. If you know which place we're talking about, you need to send us an SMS on 41348.
Okay, your stuff is usually really, really tricky, but tonight it's almost
so
too good to...
easy, because I really want to give away this book, and you wanted to give something else away.
Yeah, I remember last
something
week...
Something weird.
And we said we were going to give away a T-bone steak and an English pale ale.
Well, two. Hey? One of each. You can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, one of... No, it's in the same pack.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but we'll see about that.
Graham Alexander on Mix 93.8.
Bull Date on Mix 93.8 FM. My name's Graham Alexander. I'm going to be chatting to Albie Schroeder this evening from Pioneer Floor Heating, learning about how to heat a home, not only a floor. Albie, welcome.
Hi, Graham. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for taking time out to come and chat to us. Albie, before we get into who you are and your company and everything, I think let's just quickly understand what underfloor heating is. I don't think it's someone below the house with any kind of fire or anything. It's probably a lot simpler. What are the different types of floor heating?
For sure, Graham. There's a couple of options available. We understand the old traditional type of in-slab heating, which was the older method of floor heating. There's also then a newer version of that available on the market, which is an in-screed electrical-based floor heating application. And then most probably the most recent type of electrical-based floor heating systems which are available on the market is the current underfloor heating systems, which are placed directly below the actual final floor covering. And then on the other hand, we also then have the new age hydronic floor heating systems, which are currently available.
Okay, and we're going to get into more detail on how they work, what they cost, and so on. But I thought right up front, let's understand what underfloor heating means. Your company, Pioneer Floor Heating, you're the founder and the CEO. How did you get into it?
That's correct. Pioneer Floor Heating was originated in 2004. I have a background in the mechanical engineering trade, and I spent some time in the clothing retail industry, and ended up working for a period of time for a competitive floor heating company locally, and eventually decided to break away and start Pioneer. Company was registered, as I said, in 2004. We've been around the block, and we've had the opportunity to grow and expand our footprint throughout South Africa to the point where we now have representation in all the major city centers around the country, Natal, Joburg, Cape Town, Free State, and so forth. Been very lucky in terms of the growth of the company over the past 12, 15 years.
When I come back, Albie, I want to chat to you about the regulations and the impact it's had on underfloor heating in South Africa. Kay, I bet you everyone's got it right.
Yeah, everyone is getting it right. We did have one wrong answer. Peter, Sean, Charles, Russ, and Stuart have got it right so far. So we're looking for a place, and I'll give you a couple of artists who played there. It was Frank Sinatra, Paul Anka. Doubt anyone went to see him. He's weird. Status Quo, Rod Stewart, and Elton John. So it's a place not far from Joburg, and really it's where you would go and really rough it up on the weekend. We've spoken about it before. A lot of people admitted that they spent some time sleeping in their cars because they forgot to book a room. So if you know what we're talking about, SMS us on 41348.
Okay, I've got Mrs. Paul Anka on the line here. Do you want to chat to her?
She's really probably quite ancient.
Okay, Kay. So you're giving away this book. We are giving away a book. Can we add the T-bone steak and an English pale ale to that package?
We can add. So you can win a renovation guide. So if you're renovating your home, you really do want to SMS the correct answer in. And we'll send you a really cool T-bone steak and a beer to go with it.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
One of my absolute favorite artists of all time, Cream, well, Eric Clapton, Strange Brew. And that was from 1967, released in late May of that year as the lead single from their album Disraeli Gears. Absolutely brilliant band.
Okay, talking about the 60s, a couple of weeks ago, you threw a question out there about the Colton Hotel.
Yeah.
And I know you've dug up a couple of prices. Like, what did prawns cost there in the 60s?
Well, I dug up a menu from the Colton Hotel from 1963. Prawns were R1.35.
Yeah. It's all relative. You know, a car probably only costs R5,000 or something. But it's still great to look at memories like that.
Well, I mean, they have assorted hors d'oeuvres from 95 cents. I mean, it's just insane. You can't buy anything.
And
for
that was the most
cents.
Expensive, or one of the most expensive restaurants in Joburg.
Absolutely. It's insane. Now, we're also asking for another place that's pretty iconic. You must have jeweled there. I don't know anybody who hasn't actually been to this place. A little way out of Joburg. A lot of amazing acts played there. And it was one of the only places you could gamble. Now, there's a very easy clue. If you know what we're talking about, send us an SMS on 41348.
The best music this winter, Mix 93.8.
My name is Graham Alexander. I'm chatting to LB Schroeder. We're talking about underfloor heating. LB, before the break, I mentioned the new regulations that came into play probably 4 years ago. And I know we've chatted about them on the show often, maybe too often. But they must have had an impact on the underfloor heating business, because homes needed to become more energy efficient. And I guess it was a positive thing in a way. A negative turned into a positive because everybody suddenly started about talking about things like underfloor heating.
Definitely. I think a lot of focus immediately was placed upon floor heating systems, the efficiency of floor heating systems, and the opportunity which comes about with making new age floor heating systems more effective and more cost effective in terms of running cost. So yes, we have seen changes, and it's also brought us as a company on board with new strategies and focuses on inventing new systems and making sure that we've got new age systems which are more energy efficient and which can comply with the new regulations.
To get into a bit more detail on the electrical underfloor heating, you mentioned that it may be in the slab, the actual floor slab. It could be in the screed, and that's the finish on top of the slab. Just so that we understand what we're talking about, when you lay a floor slab in a home, it's quite obvious what it is. But the screed that goes on top is the finishing before you put tiles down or carpets or whatever. So you could put it in either of those, or you could put it under the tiles.
That is correct, yes.
How do you do this? What do you put wires in there? Or?
It is electrical-based floor heating is a resistance wire or element which is placed either in the slab, in the screed, or below the tile. The older systems were generally placed in the slab or in the screed, and they were really sluggish in terms of reaction time. You would find that a old traditional based floor heating system would take 1 to 3 days before you really had heat admission and transmission of energy through the actual finished floor surface, and you had radiant heat admission taking place, which would positively affect the ambient temperature in that room. So what has transpired is we've actually now, with the new age systems, we place the floor heating or the electrical element as close as possible to the finished floor surface level, so that you reduce the reaction time of the system, which obviously has a direct impact on the duty cycle of such system and would impact on the running cost of the system. So if it is tiles, it would be placed directly below the tile surface. If it is a carpet application, the heater will be placed directly on top of the underfelt, placed between the carpet and the underfelt, which also has the benefit of the heater being insulated from the screed itself. If it is a timber application, it will be literally just below the timber surface.
When one thinks of wires and electricity, I think maybe a couple of alarm bells go off with regard to heat and fire and so on. If you're putting it under a laminate or a wooden floor, what protects the wood Maybe I should ask a different question. Is can it short out in the first place?
I suppose you can say it can short out. However, the systems are protected. All electrical systems are protected by earth leakage, and there are regulations which we need to comply to with regards to applications like specifically floor heating applications in wet areas has to have a multi-strand earth screen heater which is connected to the earth leakage system of the home. So pretty much if something had to go wrong with the heater, in short, it'll trip the power. And that's how it's
But it is insulated in a way. So
that is correct.
Yeah. It's not in direct contact with the wood or...
No, not at all. Okay. You've got your resistance element. And on the outer casing of the resistance element, we make use of a product called Tefcel, which is the outer casing insulation of the heating system, which then protects the heater from contact with the outer surfaces.
Okay, we'll be back now, I'll be with chatting about the screed and possible use of polystyrene within a system. Okay, so how many hundreds of people have got this right?
Ah, well, Sharon, Pete, Elmarie, Sheila, Dieter, Lynn, Paul, Hurt, Wayne, Margie, and a few anonymouses. We're looking for a place where you most assuredly have been on a weekend jaw.
So the accommodation at this place used to start with some pretty zush stuff, down to, I'm not even going to use the name, but down to the cheaper accommodation, and all the youngsters would go up to watch Freddie Mercury or whoever, and there'd be 20 guys in one room.
Yes, and I think we
discussed... And everyone will tell that story.
I've definitely, a couple of people slept in a bath before or on a sort of lounger by the pool, but then the guards would come and kick you off the loungers if you were sleeping out there. So if you know what we're talking about, send us an SMS on 41348.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8 FM, brought to you by AfriSan. I'm chatting to Albie from Pioneer Floor Heating. My name's Graham Alexander. With the new regulations, Albie, if you're building a new home, there is a requirement that you would put polystyrene below the floor slab.
That is correct, yes. The new regulations which have come out, SANS 101-4X, makes provision for underfloor heating insulation with a minimum R value of 1 that needs to be placed below any application where you intend using floor heating. Now, there's different ways of doing that. It could be anything from a 50 mil high-density polystyrene which is placed below the actual slab surface. You could alternatively look at possibly placing a 25 mil high-density polystyrene above the slab. That would be covered with a screed reinforced with a steel grid. And the other methods as well, like, for instance, a heat shield board, which we produce and manufacture as well.
That brings me on to a subject that we really beat the drum on this show, the subject of planning. Because if you're going to build a new home and you intend putting underfloor heating in, there are a whole lot of things that one needs to take into account, like polystyrene. We haven't chatted yet about the hydronic or your water underfloor heating. We're going to get to that in a mo. But just about the planning, how much interaction do you usually have with the architect before the building starts? Because our experience is services like yours, kitchens, electricians, and so on, there isn't enough interaction with specialist services.
Yeah, in short, we don't get enough interaction. Generally, underfloor heating is left right to the last, and it's one of the last things which are decided over the weekend, Monday, before we start tiling type of thing, and we get a quick telephone call saying we need to quote and install very urgently type of thing. And it does pose a whole load of problems, like, for instance, provision for electrical points, thermostat connections, and those sort of things which are generally not made. Or alternatively, even worse, when you're looking at underfloor heating or hydrofloor heating applications with insulation and so forth, which does heavily affect the finished floor surface level, which impacts on various other items in the build, like, for instance, door frame heights and window frame heights and those sort of things. So the short and the long of it, the quicker that we can get involved and in the planning phase already, we can advise properly on what the floor construction is going to be, what sort of insulation needs to be used, where it's going to be placed, what the electrical requirement and connection requirements would be, and so forth, in order to make sure that we all, apart from saving time, and we also end up saving money on the process and not having to redo things and make the whole process easy for the customer.
Most people will fit through an average door frame quite easily. But if you're a bit taller, you tend to stoop a bit because you may bump your head. And if it's not planned correctly and you need to add another 30 mil to the screed, it could be significant.
Definitely.
Yeah. So planning is absolutely key. And we're going to come back and chat to you now about water heating your home and floors. Kay, how are we doing?
Well, planning is not something most people did when they went to this venue that we're talking about, because everyone would just go, yeah, so-and-so is playing, or let's do this thing, or go see this concert, and nobody ever booked a room. So we've got a message from Anonymous to say every hotel this person has ever been to lands up with far too many people sleeping. So I'd like to go on a jaw with this person. Send us your name. But we're talking about a venue that was, it's relatively close to Joburg, far enough that you have to drive, and certainly you don't want to drive home after you've had a few drinks and seen a concert or checked out a review show or done some gambling. So if you know what we're talking about, SMS us on 41348.
Unless you want to see goats in the dark.
Goats in the dark. Oh, yes, yeah, and flattened mountains on the way.
Graham Alexander on Mix 93.8.
We're going with really great guitar playing tonight. That was Dire Straits' Industrial Disease from their 1982 album Love Over Gold. Now, if you've been to a venue, it takes you, what, how long, Graham? About 2 hours, depending on what car
depends
you're
driving? Depends when you're going there or coming back. Coming back takes about 1 hour.
Okay, and going there, 2 hours.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours.
Okay, if you don't hit a goat. So we're looking for a venue that's kind of 2 hours or 1.5 hours outside of Joburg, and you can go and gamble there. And it was the only place to do that, opening in 1979. If you know what we're talking about, it's such an easy one tonight. You could win a renovation guide, which is a fat book on renovating your home, and you could win another fat thing.
Yeah, T-bone steak with an English pale ale craft beer.
Okay, so SMS us on 41348.
The home of the legends, Mix 93.8 FM, is now on DSTV channel 823.
I'm chatting to LB Schroeder from Pioneer Floor Heating. LB, heating your floor with water. A lot of people will know that it's probably the best way to go. I think a lot of people will think we're talking rubbish. Explain how it works.
Okay, Graham. Hydro floor heating system rightfully is a water-based floor heating system. We make use of a piping structure which is placed below the actual floor surface, embedded in the screed or alternatively once again in the slab, which is then connected to a manifold which handles the distribution of the hot water. Hot water is recirculated to a heat source which reheats the water and recirculates through the floor as heat is required to a specific room or area. If you're looking at hydro floor heating applications and the reason why we've gone hydro floor heating, we find that there are various new age energy efficient methods of heating hot water instead of making use of resistance element to heat a floor heating system, and that is why we're going the route of hydro floor heating applications.
Typically, Albie, what would be heating that water? What is the system or the machine that's heating that?
There are various ways of heating a vessel of hot water. It could be done by means of high energy efficiency heat pump. Pellet boilers is an option. Gas is also an option. Alternatively, a combination of heat sources, like, for instance, possibly hot water solar generation with a combination of a heat pump or so forth. So there's various ways it can be done. And the nice thing about it is modular. You know, so as technology enhances and the new methods that come up, the system can be altered and changed accordingly, you know, which is great for future.
Let's say we're using a heat pump. And again, that's terminology that we mustn't accept everybody knows what that means. This is a pump that pumps heat. It's it's heating water, and it looks like an air conditioning system. It's a fridge in reverse, but it's continuous. Is that correct? So it just continues pumping and heating water.
That is correct. Pretty much what a heat pump does is it harvests energy from the available energy in the ambient temperature outside. So it would literally take small amounts of energy which is available and transmit that via heat exchanger and displace that into the water. And that is why the system is so efficient. Some of the heat pumps which we use run on a thing called a COP of 4.2, which is the coefficient of performance on that system. And what that means is it's the ability of the system to convert energy, available energy and pretty much what a COP of 4.2 would say is that the system would use 1 kilowatt's worth of electrical power and produce 4.2 kilowatts worth of heat energy for us, which we can put into the floors. And that is where the huge saving comes from.
Albie, let's see if I've got this right from a picture in my head. Is you have the heat pump, it's pumping hot water out at one side and cooler water is coming, and it just continues this cycle. You're then pushing it through a manifold, a bit like an exhaust on a motor car. You've got a number of pipes, or one pipe going into a number of pipes. This then is done it's circulated through a pipe in the concrete floor.
That's correct.
Back to the heat pump, and this just continues and continues until you get to a certain temperature, I guess. But the heat pump, does it turn off or does it just carry on?
There is in between the actual manifold and the heat pump, there would be a buffer tank, which is a vessel which we do store a duplicate amount of hot water, which is in the floor, in the actual vessel itself. So in short, what happens is the heat pump would actually heat the vessel of hot water. We would draw off the vessel and circulate that water into the floor. And as the temperature in the vessel would drop below a specific point, the heat pump will engage. It will elevate the actual temperature of the water in the vessel to a desired point, and then it will disengage again. So the heat pump doesn't run continuously, and nor does continual circulation of water below the floor take place. It's literally on demand. Every room will have a thermostat which will manage that specific room's required temperature. So pretty much in short, what will happen is if a thermostat in a room sees that the room is dropped below the required temperature, it will tell the manifold that the room is too cold. It will open up the required valves, engage the circulation pump, and start drawing hot water delivery to that specific room.
I'm going to come back in a sec, Albie, on the installation of these systems, trying to understand how it's actually done. Kay, you have a factoid. We don't have Simon here tonight, but that's cool because Nonhlanhla is a lot better looking than Simon, and she's doing a sterling job.
And I've got Simon always tells random factoids, so I've got a personalized factoid. It's actually a little bit of a story. We had Johnny Clegg here a little bit earlier, and that was very exciting for all of us. And so I have a story about him. When in the 1980s, I worked as a waitress in a restaurant called Papita on Rocky Street, and Johnny Clegg came in quite often, but he gave me the biggest tip I've ever received as a waitress in that time, because everyone was a hippie and nobody really paid you any tips, and his tip was 20 rand, and I will never forget that.
It's probably worth a lot more to Johnny because he's a muser. It was like giving you 200 rand.
He was already a very successful muser in those days, but I was impressed because, I mean, the biggest tip you got other than that was, you know, 2 rand. That was quite substantial.
I saw him first at a club, I can't remember what it was called, club sort of beer place, opposite Wits University, but that was in the 70s.
Okay, well, before my jewel time, for sure. Yeah.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8 FM. I'm chatting to Albie Schroeder. We're chatting Pioneer Floor Heating. That's the name of Albie's organization. It's also his website, Pioneer Floor Heating. .co.za. You're also running a special, is it at the moment, Albie, or is there something coming up?
No, that's current. It actually launched a couple of days ago. It's referred to as our mid-season sale, where we're offering 25% discount on all electrical-based floor heating applications and 15% discount on all hydro floor heating applications. The special will be running all the way through until the end of July, and it is unfortunately subject to stock availability as well. So first come, first serve basis.
100%. Albie, back to the water or hydro floor heating. I just want you to run through, and I'm going to ask you a few questions about the installation. One, because I'm interested, and I think everybody else may be. But also, it highlights how important it is to plan with a system like this. Half of it's buried. You're probably never going to see it again. It's electrical. It's also water. So where do you start? When you arrive, this is a new home. Where does it start and end?
The quicker we can get involved in the planning phase, the better. So pretty much what will happen is if a customer considers doing a floor heating system, they could send us a set of drawings and just indicate the desired areas which they intend heating, and also tell us what sort of floor covering they intend heating or using in those areas. We would then put a bill of material together and apply a price to that. If the customer is happy with that application or with the quotation which we've given to them, we would then go into a design phase where we would look at what sort of insulation is going to go in to the floor, what sort of controls are required, are we integrating with home automation, what sort of thermostats need to be selected, is it going to be analog, digital, programmable, and so forth. If it is a hydro floor heating system, are we doing a piping structure in the slab, is it going to be in the screed, where's the polystyrene going to be, where's the plant rooms going to be, and all of those are literally drafted onto a full AutoCAD set of drawings. That is then given to the architect and the engineer, as well as the builder, discussed with all the relevant parties until everybody is happy. And that would be our blueprint, which we go to build with.
Okay. How often is the I think we've answered this question about the architect yourself and the homeowner being involved. Generally, it's too late. But in an ideal world, you're sitting with the architect and the homeowner and yourselves as a specialist service provider or product provider. The contractor comes into play after that because he still needs to give a price and so on. You're probably giving the homeowner the price a little bit too late, and the builder's now got to get involved and say, sorry, I didn't allow a pipe here and I didn't allow this and this and that. I know I'm harping on about this, but it
does happen from time to time, because rightfully what you're saying is if you're considering a hydro floor heating application, there might be other services which are affected, like for instance electrical requirements, which originally was not priced for, thermostat positions, electrical connections for the heat pumps and so forth. So which eventually does create a problem in terms of adjustments and altering to the price.
Albie, when we come back, we're going to talk about costs, how much do these systems cost, and so on, and can we control them remotely? Kay, are we going to give the steak away tonight?
Oh, we are indeed, absolutely. I just want to read one message. Somebody remembers Papita, which is so exciting. This person says, Papita took much of my hard-earned cash from my first job in exchange for many black labels, and he got his first tattoo from the tattoo shop next door. So, yeah, I remember that place, absolutely. So we are giving away this shop. Do we give everyone one last chance to guess what we're talking about, or shall I announce?
No, one more chance.
One more chance. Okay, we're talking about a place a couple of hours away from Joburg. It opened in 1979, first place you could gamble anywhere in South Africa. That's a major clue. And Freddie Mercury played there, so if you saw that concert, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Send us an SMS on 41348.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
The Animals, House of the Rising Sun. Now that's part of the clue of the thing we're looking for, and that might also relate to this space we're talking about. You've got just one more quick chance to SMS us on 41348 if you know which venue we're talking about.
The best music this winter, Mix 93.8.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8. My name's Graham Alexander. I'm chatting to Albie Schroeder, talking floor heating. Albie, when it comes to costs, I always warn everybody that, you know, how long's a piece of string? We're not looking for a quote. We're just looking for some kind of indication of what these things cost. Could you give me a feel on how much electrical floor heating costs and water?
Graham, a typical electrical application would cost you in the vicinity of about 200 rand a square meter, excluding VAT, supplied and fitted, and that would include a basic entry-level analog thermostat. If you're looking on hydro floor heating applications, you're looking somewhere around about 700 to 750 rand a square meter supplied and fitted, which would include a full working system, including a basic heat source like a heat pump, for example.
Okay. The one is obviously a lot more expensive than the other.
That is correct, yes.
But it's the technology that we should be using.
And it's specifically related to the saving at the end of the day in the running cost.
Yeah. And I think a little earlier in the show I said new technology, and an SMS came through from Hartman that said this technology goes back to the Romans, and we've agreed that he is 100% correct.
That's correct.
And if
yes.
I said it's new, I think it's probably because I meant relatively new in South Africa. In Europe, they've been doing this for a long, long, long time.
That's correct, Graham.
Yeah. So you're looking at 700 Rand versus 200 Rand, but you're also looking at the water being 20% of the cost. Is that figure right?
That's more or less correct. Depending on the type of heat source that you're using, resistance wire applications, you're unfortunately limited to 1 kilowatt's worth of power drawn, exerting 1 kilowatt's worth of energy, as to where with the COP ability of a heat pump, you're looking at almost a 1/20th or 1/5th or 20% of the actual running cost of an electrical system to exert the same sort of energy.
We were doing some maths during the break on what does this relate to when it comes to rands and cents. But I think, Albie, one needs to also understand a square meter. Do you need this in every room or the passages and so on?
No, not. We would be selective in terms of the areas which we do place floor heating, like, for instance, bedrooms and bathrooms and so forth. We try and place the floor heating applications in areas where you're going to be frequenting those rooms on a regular basis. Passages are not considered areas or living areas which is required for heating, you know, so it's limited to those to living areas and bedrooms. I think it's also important to understand that when you start looking at square meterage areas, that electrical-based floor heating systems don't cover the full available space of a room. You're looking at a coverage of, let's say, 65 to 70% of the available floor space, depending on the thermal efficiency of that room, which will dictate the kilowatt requirement in order to use that room specifically.
So one needs to be careful with that. The other, if you're looking at your home plans and you're about to build a new home or you're busy building the home and it says, for argument's sake, 300 square meters, one must remember about 7% of that is walls. Walls occupy that space. And your garage and patio and all of that would generally be in that square meterage. So you probably go down to 200, 210 square meters quite quickly.
Definitely.
So before you do the exercise, bear that in mind. When it comes to quality, this is another subject that we beat to death on the show because we believe in it so strongly that you can get guarantees and so on. But if you're not buying quality, you can expect the worst. When you're hiding pipes, or not hiding them, installing pipes under a surface bed that you can't even see, quality has to be absolutely critical.
Definitely. And the application itself. I think the first thing which is imperative to understand is that the piping structure which we use is manufactured by a German manufacturer and carries a guarantee in excess of 50 years.
Hartmann will be very, very pleased to hear that. And it's not new.
Yeah. The other thing which is really important is to, once we start laying the piping applications, there are no joints in any piping structure below the actual floor surface. So the pipe is one continual run back to the manifold, and the only joints in that pipe structure is literally above the floor surface. So if there are any potential leaks, it will generally be where you've got a joint in the pipe. Once the piping structures are laid, the systems are filled with water and placed under pressure to 6 bar pressure, and it has to stand under 6 bar pressure for a period of 24 hours before the screeding takes place to ensure that we haven't got any leaks in the piping structure. So imperative that, you know, from a planning point of view and the application and the product which is being used, that they all conform to a relatively high standard. Otherwise, you are bound for huge problems.
Controlling the system, obviously at site, you would preset a lot of things, you know, your temperatures and so on. But if you wanted to control it outside of being on site or in the home, can you do it on your cell phone and other devices?
Definitely. All the new age floor heating applications can interface with home automation if so required. There are also various new type of thermostats on the market which can be remotely controlled and can be pre-programmed and preset to different temperatures at different times for all ease of comfort, and obviously has a huge impact on the running cost of a system like that.
Albie, let's see how we've done with the question tonight and the winners.
Okay, well, I'm just going to randomly shout out a few more names. Ginger Ray, Marcel, Catherine, Jones, Steve, Henry, Brett, Sandra, Philip, Oscar. Charlotte and Alan was the person who messaged about by Peter, so we probably crossed paths way back in the day. We have two winners tonight. Catherine Gill wins the renovation guide. Well done, Catherine. We'll get hold of you and get it to you by the end of next week when it lands. And then our chop winner.
It's not a chop. It's a T-bone steak.
I was about to say he's not a chop.
Okay.
Brett Dutoy, you're not a chop, but you have won a chop, and we predict you will be brying probably this weekend. Let's hope it doesn't snow. And the answer that we were looking for was Sun City, of course.
That was really easy this week, Kay. Albie, you cannot believe how clever the guys are out there. Kay comes up with questions that I go, wow, and I go and Google on my cell phone. Everyone, every week, gets it right. Although this week was a lot.
This was an easy one, and everyone got it right.
Albie Schroeder, thank you so much for coming to chat to us.
Excellent, Graham.
And I'm just going to repeat your website. It's Pioneer Floor Heating, all one word, .co.za. And if you want to go and have a look at more about underfloor heating and so on, pop into to LB's website. Thanks to Nonklantla for looking after the desk very responsibly, for Kay looking after all of us, and for Ian videoing the show. Up next, our friend Adam Ford Mustang, Adam Ford Cortina. I'm not going to steal the thunder. He's got something to tell you tonight, and he's up next. We do this again next week between 6 and 7. Ciao.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.